Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 18 lines from the top. You'll notice approximately halfway down the narrow lines of the Gemara. Before we get into the Gemara itself, we glance at the side. We have a topic heading, which reads Makoros. We're going to deal with sources. L'kfira davka bebeisdin, the idea of denial of knowledge of testimony, which when false denial takes place, a korban will need to be brought, a sacrifice will need to be brought. That denial, that kfira, is of meaning, is binding only if it's done in the court. Shvua, the actual oath of denial, afilu chutz lebeisdin, that might transpire even outside of the court. It's not limited, in order to be a binding oath, it's not limited to being in the court. The Gemara, hishpia aleihem chamisha pamim v'chulei. The Mishnah featured a set of witnesses that was being adjured by the litigant five times, and they then subsequently denied the knowledge. And we pointed out that the adjuration was imposed on them outside of the court, and then there was a subsequent denial in the court, they would be guilty for each one. However, in order for the denial to be, we'll say, of a binding nature, it would have to be in the court itself. Minolon de akfira bebeisdin hu de mechayvi, achutz lebeisdin lo mechayvi. From where do we know that their denial of knowledge of testimony, in order to result in culpability, it would have to be in the court, but a kfira outside the beisdin does not constitute a denial. Omar Abaye, Omar Kro. The Posuk says, Im lo yagid v'noso avono. The Posuk deals with the witnesses, if they do not testify when they could have, then they will bear their sin. Lo amarti loch, I didn't say, says the Almighty, that there is guilt. Elo b'mokom she'ilu magid ze mischayev ze mamon. The Pasuk is addressing only a situation of denial where if they would have testified, then the other litigant would have been obligated to pay. And that is only if it transpires in the court. Omar le Rav Popo le Abaye, I hochi emo shvua gufa bebeisdin in v'shelo bebeisdin lo. If you're basing yourself on the pasuk of im lo yagid v'nosa voino, that it all depends on the place. In other words, a place where testimony could have been said and is then denied, that is where there is guilt. So why doesn't the same thing apply to the initial oath that's imposed on the witnesses? Say that only if it's imposed on them in the Beis Din, then it's binding. But if outside the Beis Din, outside the court, it's not binding. So the Gemara says, lo salka daitach. No, you can't think thusly. Desanya le'achas. The posuk says, and we have it quoted on the side, Vayikra perikei posukei, reading the entire posuk, it says, Vahoyo kiyesham le'achas me'ele v'hisvada asher choto le'o. And lachas, we explain, l'chayev al kol achas ve'achas, that there is a separate guilt for each one. And when we speak about for each one, you'll see that we're referring to for each shvua. And here, by the way, we have a long answer marking. It takes a few lines to develop this point. If you were to think that the oath spoken about in the Torah that's imposed on the witnesses would be binding only if it's in the court, would there possibly be multiple obligations? Vahotnan. We have learned Hishbi Alehan Hamishopamim Bifne Basedin Vikofru. If the oath was imposed on the witnesses five times in the court, Vikofru, and then the witnesses denied, Ein Chayovin Elo Achas. They are guilty of only one offense, not for each one. Amar Rabbi Shimon Matam, and Rabbi Shimon explained in the Mishnah what's the reason for that. Because once they deny in the court, that is the equivalent of their testimony. We have a rule that Kivan Shehigid Shuvei Nechoz Yomagid. Once you say something of a testimonial nature in the court, you can't say anything further. So therefore, once there is denial of knowledge of testimony, there is no room for them to then concede or admit we do know testimony. Hence, there is no significance to each subsequent oath when, of course, imposed in the court. Elolav shma mino shvua chutz lebeisdin. So we conclude from here that the binding nature of the oath imposed on the witnesses is binding even if it's imposed outside the court. However, the significance of a kfira, of a denial, that has significance only if the denial is done in the court. We continue with a quote from the Mishnah, Kofru Shnehem Ke'achas Chayovin. The two witnesses, if they deny knowledge of testimony, Ke'achas means together, then they are Chayovin. That means each witness will then be Chayov for having lied and have to bring their own korban, their own sacrifice. Now, the Mishnah said, Kofru Shem Ka'achas. Ka'achas means together. So the Gemara asks, Ha Yefshel Litzamtzem. People can't be exactly together. Litzamtzem means exact. As we go on in the Gemara, you'll now see, number one, Rav Chista, and Rav Yochanan, number two explanations to explain what does Ka'achas in the Mishnah mean. So, Omar Rav Chista, Homoni, Rav Chista says, our Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi Haglilihi. It's in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Omar Efsher Litzamtzem. He is of the opinion that when a person makes an attempt to be exact, and they would issue their denial in tandem, it can be done. So you can have Ke'achas. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Teimo Rabbanon. Rabbi Yochanan says, our Mishnah can be explained also according to the Rabbanon. Kegon shekofru shneim besoich kedei dibor. When the Mishnah says they denied together, it doesn't mean they spoke simultaneously, but they spoke one after the other, and they spoke toch kedei dibor. The toch kedei dibor kedibor domi. The expression toch kedei dibor means within, we'll say, within 2 or 3 seconds of one another. The expression toch kedei dibor is a time frame where even though there is a separation, since it's a continuum, it's considered one statement. It's considered as if they spoke together. Omer le Rav Acha midifti the Ravina. Rav Acha asks, Michti, toch kedei dibor kamahave, how long is that period called toch kedei dibor? Kedei sheilas talmid l'rav. It's enough time to say 3 words. Shalom Alecha Rebbe. Well, so that's considered together if it's within 3 seconds. Well, the Gemara asks, Ad Amri Shvua She'enonu Yoidim L'cho Edus. That's six words. So then, more than Toch Kedei Dibor has elapsed. Tuva Havi. Tuva means it's the denial is more than Toch Kedei Dibor. Omar Lei. So Ravino answers, Kol Echod Ve'Echod Toch Diburo Shel Chavero. The idea of Toch Kedei Dibor doesn't mean that the second person's denial must be stated entirely within the time frame of Toch Kedei Dibor, but rather the second witness has to start his denial, start his statement within the 2-3 second time frame of the first, of the conclusion of the first witness, and then as long as it takes for him to complete whatever his statement is, that's okay. That's not what we were insistent upon when we said Toch Kedei Dibor. All we meant was that the second witness has to start his statement of denial within the time frame of Toch Kedei Dibor, of the 3-word time frame of the first, of the conclusion of the statement of the first witness. And that's called Kofru Shneim Ka'achas that we saw in the Mishnah. The topic here is featured on the side, the Nosei, Kfiroso Shel Eid Echad, Machlokas Tanoi Mim Chayev. What is the status of the denial of the testimony when it's one witness that is denying? Let's continue in the Gemara now. Bozeh achar zeh, if one witness, you have two witnesses, one denies knowledge of testimony, and then a certain gap of time beyond Toch Kedei Dibor sets in, and then the second witness also denies. Harishon chayav asheni poter. The first witness is guilty. The second one is not guilty of Shvuas Ha'edus. And why is that? So we explain, because after the first witness denies knowledge of testimony, you're left with an individual, a single witness, and a single witness does not have any testimonial or testimony powers, so to speak. And therefore, when he denies, so he's not denying a situation of having a situation where he could have testified. Even if he had testified as an individual, it wouldn't have carried any weight. Well, the Gemara says, Masnisen delo ki hai tana. Our Mishnah is not in accordance with the following. Tana Ribbelozer, Rabbi Shimon, Desanyo. Mashbia eid echod, if we imposed an oath concerning testimony on a singular witness and he denied, potter. Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Mechayev. And Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon says he is guilty. Lema behalkomifligi. Shall we say that the basis of this machlokas is in the following? Demor sovar eid echod ki osa lishivuahu deka osa. According to the Chachomim, when a singular witness comes, he can come and testify, and as a result of his testimony, the litigant will have to swear to counter the claim made by the individual witness. And since it's not a denial of testimony that's of a monetary nature, so it doesn't result in a violation of Shvuas Ha'edus. Now, this is a point we haven't developed up till now, but the point or the concept is that only a kfiras Edus of Mamon, testimony that if stated, if the test would have been stated, it would have resulted in one having to pay, one litigant having to pay the other. That's called Firas Mamon, testimony resulting in money payment. However, when one witness comes, even if he had testified, the litigant against whom the testimony is stated wouldn't have to pay money. He would, at best, or at worst, however you look at things, he would have to swear to counter whatever the witness is claiming. Umar Savar. The opinion of Rav Elazar Rav Shimon, let us say, says that Eid Echad Kiyosa, when a singular witness comes, Lema Mona Kaosa. His testimony is, in fact, testimony that could result in the payment of money. If a singular witness comes and says, I saw Reuven loan money to Shimon, that would have obligated Shimon to pay Reuven. And when he denies knowledge of that loan, so the witness is guilty of violating Shvuas, is guilty of denying knowledge of the testimony. If done so under oath, he is guilty of Shvuas Eidus. So now, at this point, shall we say that this is the machlokas? What is the power of Eid Echad? Tanakama holding Eid Echad does not impose money payment, and Rebbe Elazar Shimon holding he does. And as a result of that, it conforms to the rules of Shvuas Eidus that says that if you deny Eidus of Mammon, you'll then be guilty of Shvuas Eidus. The Gemara asks, though, is that really an accurate presentation of Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon? V'tisbara. And what we're going to see in the Gemara now is, first of all, we're raising a question, and there are numerous points that are mentioned in the Gemara. In fact, we'll see five halachas, and this is featured on the side under our Mivneh heading. A bow tie shape appears, which highlights the names Abaye and Rav Papa, and they will quote halachas that are said in the same, we'll say, style. Abaye presents his list of halachas, and later on the next Omid, Rav Papa will present his list of halachas. Numbers 1 through 5 are Chamesh halachas, five laws, Shemevi Abaye Be'inyin Eidus, that have some relevance to testimony. 1 through 3 is Be'ede Sota, has to do with witnesses concerning the suspicious woman, the woman who is suspect of immorality, the married woman suspect of immorality. And numbers 4 and 5 are Be'edus Klali, regarding general laws of testimony. Now, we must say at the outset that the 5 points that Abaye speaks about need not be explained immediately. Rather, the Gemara will deal with them later on. What we have to focus on right now is, through Abaye's statement, we're going to see that Rebbe Elazar Rebbe Shimon cannot be explained as holding that one witness, in fact, is Mechayev Mammon. So we have to get to that point in order to make sense of the Gemara. Later, as far as the other points mentioned by Abaye, the Gemara will explain them. So now the Gemara asks, V'tisbron, explain yourself. You said that according to Rebbe Shimon, the reason that an Eid Echad who denies knowledge of testimony is high because one witness could have obligated a money payment through his testimony. V'tisbara v'homar Abaye hakol moidim be'eid sota. There is agreement regarding a sota witness. The sota is the in this case a witness concerning the wayward woman. V'hakol moidim be'eid sota. And there is agreement regarding the witnesses of sota. U'machloikes be'eid sota. And there is a controversy concerning the rules of the witnesses of a sota. Now, it's going to be on this point that we're going to want to come back in order to focus our discussion. But just let's continue completing the list. Number 4, Hakol Moedim Be'eid Echad. There is unanimity regarding an individual witness. V'Hakol Moedim Be'eid Shekenegdo Choshed Al Hashvua. And there's also agreement regarding the case of a witness when the party who would have to take the oath is suspect of lying. So that if one witness comes to impose an oath on somebody, but that person is incapable of swearing because he's ineligible to swear because he's suspect of lying. So that's the case of the Eid Shekenegdo Choshed Al Shvua, which Mitzvah Hashem later will discuss in greater detail. Now, what's the point? From the words we read, we don't see anything. But when we look in Rashi, we will see There's a Rashi that appears a little more than, it's more than halfway down the page. V'omar Abaya kolmodim be'eit sota, v'kolmodim be'eit sot, v'meforshol v'kaman hochi. The Gemara will explain later on. Yesh edus besoite shekolmodim bo. There is an example of testimony in sota that everyone agrees with. Shamashbia edechad chayov. That one who imposes an oath of testimony on a singular witness results in an obligation, in a chiyuv, in a penalty if he lies. There's a case of testimony where even if two witnesses deny knowledge of the testimony, they're lying, of course, and they will be exempt. And here's where we start to get interested, because there's an element, there's an issue of testimony concerning Sota, where there is a Tanaic controversy between the Chachamim of Shimon, and b'mashpia es shneim v'kofru, where you impose an oath of testimony on both of them and they denied falsely. B'machlekuson shenechleku b'mashpia eid echod demamot. And the machlokis concerning the chomer of Zom Shimon on the eidei sota is parallel to their machlokis concerning testimony denial on the part of a singular witness when it comes to mamon, monetary cases. Omi pirusha de milsa de baile kamon shaminon, and through the explanation of Abaye's teaching, which so far is a bit abstract for us, it then becomes clear later on the time of Reb Lozer, the reason for Lozer Reb Shimon that holds that there is a chiyuv mishum de kosov. Chiyuv means there's an obligation if he denies knowledge of the testimony mishum de kosov. Dovar hagorem lemamon kemamon domi. Testimony that could cause someone to have to pay money, and we'll explain that with an example later. But testimony that could cause someone or lead someone to pay money is tantamount to testimony of money directly. V'eid echad goreim lemamon hu. Now here we explain what we said before. A singular witness is called a goreim, a causative element with regard to money matters. She'ilu hu heid, had he testified. And we said before, we saw the opinion of the Rabbanan before, that when a witness comes to testify that he saw A, loan money to B, and B is in denial of that, B would have to swear to contradict the testimony of the single witness. So far we're dealing with swearing. Where do you see the single witness and his imposition of a money obligation? So we continue in the Rashi. Had the singular witness testified concerning his having seen the loan, hoya mechayvo shvua, he would have imposed a shvua on the borrower if the borrower wants to deny. For roiv bnei adam ein nishboyin l'sheker v'hoya meshalim, the majority of people would not swear falsely, and he would come forth and pay the money. So the fact that a singular witness has the power to impose an oath on somebody, that's called goreim lemamon. It's a type of testimony that, if issued, could have caused the borrower to pay out, as opposed and not swear falsely. So now when that witness denies his knowledge of the testimony, according to Reb Elozer Reb Shimon, he is guilty of kfiras edus, of denial of testimony. And therefore, even one witness, true, he can't make the lender, the borrower, pay the loan, but he can, since he could impose an oath, an obligation on the borrower to swear if he wants to deny the loan, and he wouldn't swear, rather pay, so it comes under the rubric of kfiras edus mamon. So now we continue in the Gemara. So to suggest that Reb Elozer Reb Shimon, as we thought before, comes to impose an actual payment of money, not so. Elo dekule almo eid echod ki osi. We continuing in the Gemara, where everyone agrees that when one witness comes with knowledge of testimony, that let's say, using our example, I saw A loan money to B, lishivua ka'asi. He's coming with the power to impose an oath on B, on the borrower, if the borrower wants to deny having received the loan. The single witness could force the borrower to swear to back up his words. And we pointed out before in the Rashi, most people, if they are actually indebted to pay the loan, they wouldn't swear falsely and pay. And here, the machlokas between the Tanakama and Reb Elozer ben Shimon regarding a singular witness who denies knowledge of the loan, if he is lying about his knowledge of the testimony, is he chayav to bring a sacrifice? So b'hal kamithli, and it's the following point that they argue about. More so, Reb Elozer ben Shimon holds, he was the one that says that the eid echod is chayav. Dovar ha-gorem l'mamon k'mamon dami. That type of testimony that could lead to someone having to pay money is like a testimony concerning money itself, concerning the obligation to actually pay money. Umor sava lav kemamon domi, and the Tanakama holds no. It's only goreim, it can cause money payment, but it's not a testimony that forces directly money payment. Gufa. Omar Abaye. Now, the Gemara goes over the original statement of Abaye. It lists off the 5 points again, and then only after that goes and explains the case, each case individually. So, Gufa Amar Abaye, Abaye had said before, HaKol Moedim B'Eid Soto, HaKol Moedim B'Eid Soto, Machlokes B'Eid Soto, HaKol Moedim B'Eid Echod, HaKol Moedim B'Eid Shekinegdoi Choshur Al HaShvua. We go over them. Number one, HaKol Moedim B'Eid Soto Shechayov. Everyone will agree that a singular witness in the realm of Sota, of the suspect woman, if he denies his knowledge of testimony and is lying, will have to bring a sacrifice. What's the case? B'Eid Tuma, a singular witness that would testify that he saw the actual act of intimacy between the married woman and another man. The Rachmana Hemne, the Torah granted believability. This is a highly exceptional rule. It's something that's very much out of the ordinary. But here, a singular witness was granted believability by the Torah. Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'eid ein ba. And in the event that a woman had received a warning by her husband not to be in private with a specific man, and she went ahead and there are witnesses, let's say, that can testify that there had been a warning, and there are witnesses that could testify that she had been in private. She had locked the door behind her when she was together with another man other than her husband. And then a single witness comes along on the heels of the warning and the seclusion. And he says, I saw the actual act of intimacy. He is believed. And from the posits in Eid Ein Ba, we darshan, there isn't even a singular witness. Kol sheish, but whatever testimony, then we would say the woman has to go through the sota process. But if there is any testimony, even a single witness that could testify he saw the actual act of intimacy, and I emphasize, on the heels of having received a warning and witnesses that saw her in seclusion, there is no, the sota ritual or ceremony stops, and she is considered guilty. And as a result of her, let's say, verdict that we would rule concerning her guilt, the husband will not have to pay the ksuba. He will not have to pay money that a husband is otherwise obligated to pay his wife in the event that he divorces her, or his heirs, if he dies, will have to pay her the ksuba. and what we're trying to what we're driving at is the issue of the we'll say the money aspect of this denial of testimony. Had the single witness in this case, the aide Tuma, the witness that saw the intimacy, come forth and testify thusly, after the other elements were in place, that the kinui and stira, the warning and the seclusion, can also be verified through other testimony, the husband would have been exempted from paying the ksuba. Now that he's not coming forth and he's denying knowledge of having seen her into actual act of intimacy, well, then that husband is not going to be exempt from paying the ksuba. He might very well have to pay the ksuba. So that's considered testimony that directly affects the payment of money. And therefore, regarding that, there is no controversy. So there's a case of there's a very unusual case of a single witness who denies knowledge of testimony that will be guilty of shvuas ha'edus. Another point, the second point, kol, that is, the hakol moidim, everyone agrees, be ede sota, shepotur. There is unanimity regarding the denial of knowledge of two witnesses of their knowledge of testimony in the case of the wayward woman, that they will be exempt be ede kinui. This is with regard to the initial witnessing or of those who were present when the husband warned the wife not to be in seclusion with another man. Now, we didn't give too much introduction to the topic of sota. We mentioned a married woman suspect of being in with another man in intimacy, and the sota parshas featured in the Torah involves the woman after having received a warning and then being in seclusion with another man. She's brought by her husband to the Beis HaMikdash, where an entire ceremony takes place involving her drinking of special water and the water settling the matter whether she's guilty or innocent. Now, if the witnesses that were party to the initial warning that the husband issued to his wife not to be with some other man, and they deny knowledge of that kinui, of that warning, and it turns out that they're lying, then they are not guilty of shvuas ha'edus. Why? Because it's not testimony that is money related. Dave gorein degorim. It's two stages removed from any actual money payment. If we look in the Rashi, second line from the bottom, the be'ede kinui degorein degoremu af im e'adnucha. The witnesses can say, even had we testified that we, to the husband, that we knew of your warning to your wife, you still, before anything could develop from that information, you still would have required witnesses that could testify that they saw your wife in seclusion. Even if witnesses that could testify having seen her in seclusion with another man, and they deny their testimony, their knowledge of testimony, they wouldn't be chayav either. Ela gormim heim, they are of a causative nature. Shemivir oisolideshtias maim orim, when they come forth, if they would testify, namely the eide stira, what does their testimony result in? It results in her having to drink the special waters. It's called the mayim hamaorim. The shemo meyiras hamayim, the possibly exists that maybe out of fear of having to drink those waters, that if she's guilty, would result in her decomposing or exploding. Maybe out of fear of having to drink those waters, toda, she would admit, shenitmes, that she was actually guilty of an act of intimacy with another man, the tafsik subos, and through that, she would lose her ksuba payment that an ordinary married woman is entitled to eventually receive. So everyone agrees with regard to the Eidei Kinui. That's the first stage necessary for the Sota process to set in. If they deny their knowledge, they're innocent. They're not guilty of Kfiras Eidos, because it's a Goreim de Goreim. It's, as we just saw in the Rashi, even if they would have testified, that only would have set into motion the possibility of accepting witnesses of seclusion, and even that wouldn't be a direct money matter, but it would possibly cause her to confess her guilt, and only at that point do you have a mamon issue, namely the husband's exemption from having to pay the ksuba. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Umachloikis be'edei sota be'edei stira. You'll see the machlokis tanoim, Reb Lozer of Shimon and the Chachamim, regarding those witnesses. Witnesses that could testify that they had seen her in seclusion. Now, let's say they deny knowledge of that when they really knew, when they really had seen her go into seclusion with another man. Well, here you have a machlokis. Mor sovar, dover hagorim lemamon kimamon domi, v'chayav. Reb Lozer of Shimon would say that something that is causative of a money matter is like direct testimony over money obligations, and therefore their denial is culpable. Umor sovar, the Chachomim will say lav kimomo domi upoter. It's true that their knowledge their testimony could have led her to confess, and upon her confession, the husband would have been exempted from paying the ksuba. But again, it's not a direct exemption. It's a result of their testimony. The woman would have come forth with her confession, and therefore, it's not considered of a money nature testimony, and hence if they deny it, they're exempt. Hakol moidim b'shekenegdo yichoshed ashwa. Now you notice we have a 5 here, and then after the next one we have a 4. The Gemara here is the number here relates to the original list that we saw that Abai presented, and the 5th point that he presented was the case of everyone agreeing in the situation of shekenegdo yichoshed al ashvua. Well, this will be explained briefly. And number 4 had been hakol moidim b'eid echad. That is the Rebbe Abba. In the case of Rebbe Abba, this will be explained also. Now, here the Gemara explains case number 5. Hakol moidim b'shekenegdo yichoshed al ashvua. We look in the Rashi across from here. Hakol moidim b'shekenegdo yichoshed al ashvua. Mi shebaldino choshed al ashvua v'kofer lo mamon. V'eid echad yodea bo. V'ishbio bo sheyoid v'kofar. You have A, let us say, had loaned money to B. And there is a single witness that saw the loan. And B is denying that he had paid, that he had received a loan. He's denying owing money. And the lender imposes an oath on the witness that if you know knowledge on my behalf, I expect you to testify, and if not, then swear to it that you don't know the testimony. The kofar, and the witness who knew, he denies. Shehu chayov. This single witness is in violation of Shvuos Eidus. Sheze echod min hanishboyin v'noitlim. This is a case where the we didn't explain this, but we mentioned that A had loaned money to B. That B, that's the Baldin that Rashi described, he is suspect of lying. So he being a person who's suspect of lying, we wouldn't accept a shvua from him to begin with. So who would swear? We have a special provision that the lender would swear, and upon swearing, he would collect the money. But now we have the witness that is denying knowledge of the testimony. Had he testified, the lender would have been able to collect money. So as we continue reading in the Rashi, we said this is an example. Shezeh echod min anishboim v'notlin, kidamrinom beperakol anishboim, it said later in this masechta, hilkoch inu heyed, v'chiev es hachoshud shvua. Had he testified and obligated the borrower who is suspect of lying, Basin would have enabled the lender to swear that I loaned the money. We didn't mention earlier, but amongst the different rules of shvuas is that a shvuah, generally speaking, is a shvuah liftor. A person swears to confirm his denial of owing money. But in this case, the person who would swear denying, the borrower, he's suspect. So we have a special provision that the shvuah is megagin. We roll the shvuah from him onto the lender, and he would have been able to swear that the money is owed to him and collect money. But now we've got this single witness denying knowledge of that testimony. He's thereby causing a money loss upon the lender, and therefore that single witness is guilty of shvuas ha'edus. We continue in the Gemara. We explain through the Rashi, of course, we explain the entire case. Here the Gemara goes through a couple of stages. When on the side of the Gemara under the Mivne heading, we've called this Shlovim Lahazbir Mihu Echoshur HaShvua. Stages in order to establish who is the one that is suspect in the oath. The Choshid Man. The Gemara continues. If you're going to tell us that it's a case where the borrower is suspect, where the malve, the lender, would say to the witness, had you come and testified on my behalf, I would have been able to swear and collect. Now that you, witness, are denying, you're causing me this loss, let the witness argue in response, mi yemar dimishtabas, who says that you would have sworn, and so that at best my testimony would have enabled you to swear to collect money. That's still called goreim lemamon. And according to the Rabbanon, goreim lemamon is exempt from when he denies knowledge of that type of testimony. Elo kagon sheshneihem chashudim. Rather, the case that Abaye is referring to in what we'll call case 5 of Hakol Moedim B'Sheknegd B'Choshel HaShvua, what's really going on? Both the borrower and the lender are suspect. Sheshneihem chashudim. They're suspect in terms of their levels of honesty if they were to swear. D'Omar Mor, we have the following law that's taught. When you have the not only the borrower suspect, had the borrower been suspect and the lender honest or reliable, so the lender would have sworn. But now he's also suspect. The rule is chazra shvua lemechuyev law. The oath rebounds back to the one that should have taken it initially, namely the borrower. And we said, why is he the one that should have taken it? Because of the rules of shvuas, that the person, generally speaking, a person, when he swears denying. Or we call shvua liftor. He swears, which exempts him from paying. So the borrower is the one that would have had to swear that he doesn't owe the money. Umitoch sheino yochol lishova, and since he can't swear because he's suspect of lying, mishalein, he automatically has to pay. Now, what have we then just described? This singular witness that was aware of the loan, and both parties, the borrower and the lender, can't swear. had he testified, the borrower would have paid money. And that is testimony concerning direct money payment. So denial of that is called kfiras shvuas edus. Hakol moedim b'eid echod de Rebbe Abba. Now, we need to go through a long incident in order to appreciate what we are referring to. We have a long marking. You can see it's a long Maisa marking. The Gemara continues with the story. Dahu gavro de chotaf nasko mechavrei. It was an incident where one person grabbed a bar of silver from his friend. Also lekame de Rabbi Ami, this case came in front of Rabbi Ami. Have Yosef Rabbi Abba kame. Rabbi Abba was seated present. Ozal Aisi Chatsado, the Tovea, the one claiming that he was, let's say, he was robbed, he comes with one witness, the Michtaf Chatfo Minei, that was witness to the grabbing. Omar Le, the one from whom collection was trying to be made, the Nitba, the charged individual, says, in Chatfi V'didi Chatfi. He confesses, or he says, yes, I did grab it. However, what I grabbed was mine. Omar Rabbi Ami, Hechi L'daini, Daini L'hai Dina. How can judges, or how do judges proceed judging this case? And now all the problems. Lishlam, to insist that he pays back the bar of silver. Leko tre sadi, you don't have two witnesses. In the absence of two witnesses, so you can't force a money payment. Lifterei, well, to exempt him, ha iko chad sado demichta chotaf. There is a singular witness that saw him grab it. Lishtaba, to expect the charged individual to swear that he's innocent. Kevon di Omar, once he says in chatfi v'didi chatfi, he says he agrees with the witness. He says, yes, I did grab, just like you're testifying. However, what I grabbed was mine. Have le ke gazlan. Now here it would be very tricky. Don't translate it simply saying that he's like a thief, but emphasize merely he's like, meaning he has the same rules that we apply to a thief. He's not a thief per se, but the rules that we apply to the thief apply. And let's explain. We said before that when a single witness testifies, the one who is being charged, his testimony has to be stated as a contradiction to what the witness is saying. Here he can't, he's not going to be contradicting the witness. He's agreeing with the witness. So therefore there's no room for a shvua. Therefore, just like in the case of an actual thief, he does not swear and we force an actual thief to pay money, so too, that's a borrowed idea, so too, over here, you have a situation where the shvua can't be made. And when a shvua cannot be made, so we say, well, you have to pay. Omar le Rabbi Abba, have le mechuyev shvua v'eino yocholi shava. And what we just said is in fact what Rabbi Abba says right now. We have a situation of someone who is obligated to swear because there is a single witness that ordinarily imposes an oath, but he can't swear because the swearing or his statement would not really be countering the witness. The cholam mechuyev shvua v'eicholi shava, anyone who is obligated to swear and for legal reasons cannot swear, mishalem, he has to pay. So regarding this kind of witness, so a witness under these circumstances, if he denies knowledge of the grabbing of the item when he really knew about it, he is considered guilty of kfiras shvuas ha'edus. On the side, you can see we have a topic heading, the Nosei Dinim Shel Rav Papa, Bekfiras Edus Shel Mises HaBaal, denial of knowledge of a woman's husband's death, Lifamim Chayev Lifamim Potter, sometimes results in a violation of the rules of Shvuas HaEdus, and sometimes not. Once again, I know we've repeated this many, many times, but Shvuas HaEdus, denial of knowledge of testimony, is considered of significance resulting in guilt if it involves a money matter, a money payment. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Papa, and first the Gemara cites the two rules and then explains them. So the order, though, of explanation is first rule one and then two, and explained will be two and then one. So they are as follows. Amar Rav Papa, kol moedim bi'eid misa shu chayav, a person who knows about the death of a woman's husband, which would entitle her to collect her ksuba, and if he denies knowledge, so he will be chayav of being over on Shvuas HaEdus. Hakol moedim be'eid misa shu poter. Hakol moedim be'eid misa shu poter. What's the case of the single witness denying that would result in his exemption, meaning not guilty? Di omar lo ledida velo omar lehu lebeizdin. Where a single witness told the woman, I know, I saw your husband dead. He didn't tell the court. Once the woman is informed, she herself could tell the court, and she would be believed that her husband died. At that point, so his testimony is no longer necessary. Disnan, ho'isha shomra meis bali, a woman who says, my husband is dead, Tinosei, she's entitled to remarry. Meis bali, tisyabem, if it's a matter of a surviving brother-in-law and a woman who's left a widow with a husband that left no children, so she would marry the surviving brother, the levirate marriage. She would be entitled to do that based on her words. So if the single witness told the woman, you know, I saw your husband dead, he is no longer necessary. Hakol moedim be'eid misa shuchayov, a single witness that knows about a man's death and he denies that knowledge, he will be guilty. The lo omar ledida, the lo omar lehu lebeizdin. This is a fellow who didn't inform the woman, nor did he testify in court. Now, when a woman, as a result of his lack of testimony, so the woman is deprived of collecting her ksuba. And as a result of that, we have a case of a shvua of edus that involves kfiras momon, that involves the denial of a money payment. The woman, when she collects her ksuba, she collects the ksuba from land, from real estate. She doesn't collect it from portables. In general, there is a rule that we're going to bring into question right now, but oaths are not taken concerning land matters. Einish boin ala karkois. That's a general rule. Now, the ksuba payment is a payment that's based on land collection. So now we ask, shma mino, can we conclude from this, mashpia eide karka chayav, that if one imposes an oath concerning testimony of regards land matters, and they deny knowledge of that testimony, that they will be chayav because they are denying a knowledge of testimony that is money related. When we in fact know that there's a consequence, einish boin ala karkos. Land matters do not generate oaths. So why would they be considered guilty of denial of testimony when testimony in the first place concerning karkos is never imposed? The Gemara says, Dilmo de tfisa metatali. What we're talking about here with regard to the woman and her husband's death, etc., we're talking about a woman who had when the husband was alive, she took possession of portables. And those portables, she wants to hold on to the portables as payment for her ksuba. So when it comes to portables, that is something that oaths are pertinent to. Kofar echad v'hoide echad, ha-kofer chayov. We saw in the Mishnah that if one witness denies knowledge of testimony and the other one confesses that he knows the testimony, the one who denied is guilty. The Gemara asks, Hashto bozeh achar zeh, detravayu ko kafri. Mind you, in a case where both witnesses testify, one after the other, and the second one denies with a gap of time after the first one denied, and we said in that case, Amr's harishon chayav asheni poter, that only the first witness is guilty, the second witness is innocent. Now, in a case where both witnesses deny, there's a havamina right now that the first witness could claim, why should I be held guilty when, after all, the second fellow also denied knowing the testimony? What benefit would there have been in my testifying when the second witness also denied? So we're saying, mind you, in a case where each one denies, and we say the first one is guilty and the second one is innocent, kofar echad v'hoide echad mibaya, where one witness denies and the second one confesses, obviously there the one who denied would be guilty. So this seems to be a superfluous teaching in the Mishnah. The Gemara says, lo tzricha, that which the Mishnah says, kofar echad v'hoide echad, this is necessary kagon shekofru shnehem, where in fact both denied knowledge of the testimony, the chozar echad mehem v'hoide besoich kedei dibor, and one of them then reversed his denial within the kedei dibor time frame, the 2 or 3 second time frame, he reversed and confessed, the ha komash molon. And what our Mishnah is teaching us is the toich kedei dibor kedibor domi. So this Rashi explains that this section of the Mishnah isn't here to teach me that the denier is chayav, but rather it's here to teach me that the one who confessed knowledge of the testimony is innocent, even though initially he had denied knowledge. Bishlam ala Rav Chisda, this analysis works out well according to Rav Chisda, the Muki law, Lahu Kerabiosi Haglili, that sets up the case of Kofru Shneim Ka'achas, the other teaching in the Mishnah, of Kofru Shneim Ka'achas, like Rabiosi Haglili. So, Reisha Efshalit Samsein, Rav Chisda explained, Kofru Shneim Ka'achas, that section of the Mishnah, is they both denied together. The witnesses spoke simultaneously together, and you can be exact. So the Reisha of the Mishnah teaches me the case that Efshalit Samsein, that being exact is a possibility. So that's a novel point. That's a significant piece of information. The Seifa Itzrich Lashminen, and the second part of the Mishnah that we just explained, of Kofar Echad Hoidecha, is needed to teach us the Toch Kedei Dibor Kedibor Domi. To teach me this point of information that a continued speech made on the heels of an initial statement, as long as the second statement is within a couple seconds of the first statement, is considered one continuum of speech. Fine. So I have a legitimate reason for the two different teachings in the Mishnah. One to teach me Efshar Letzamtzem, and the other to tell me Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Domi. Elo LeRabbi Yochanan, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who explained the section of the Mishnah that said Kofu Shneim Ka'achas, where the second witness denied Toch Kedei Dibur of the first witness, in that case both witnesses are guilty. Well, so right there I saw Reisha Toch Kedei Dibur Seifa Toch Kedei Dibur Tarti Lomali. What do I need two teachings of the Mishnah to tell me the same principle of Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Domi? Answer: Mahu Detema. Without the second teaching of the Mishnah, I might have thought Hanimili Kfiro Kfiro. The concept of Toch Kedei Dibur Kedibur Domi is when the second statement is just like the first statement, where it's also a statement of denial. Avo Kfiro V'Hoidoi Malo. But where the initial statement made by the second witness was a statement of denying knowledge of testimony, and then he reversed himself, Toch Kedei Dibur, and admitted, maybe we don't say that. Kamash Malon, therefore the second section of the Mishnah teaches me that even if the second statement made by that second witness and his reversal statement was different than his initial statement, as long as it's within Toch Kedei Dibur, it's considered one testimony, and he will then be considered innocent as a result of his being moide, confessing to his knowledge of the testimony. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.